Well, this morning we have a guest joining us here by phone. Bud Legg is with us. Bud is a 1961 graduate of Oneida High School, and after all those years chasing all kinds of dreams, he's going to be popping back into Oneida to visit with some youngsters about his path and his adventures. Bud, good morning. How are you?
Good morning to you, Jim. I'm doing great.
Excellent. Thank you so much for the time here today. I see you're going to be in Oneida this week to visit with some youngsters and some folks at the library as well. And you've put together a pretty extensive, I guess, kind of a memoir of what it was like for you growing up and some of the experiences that you had in the small community of Oneida. Can you talk a little bit about why you decided to write this?
Well, first of all, I think that just about anybody that attempts to write a book is faced with the question, is it going to be worth reading for others? They turn out to be pretty provincial in that books are generally written to remember your family or your community, and yet I wanted to expand it. So my late wife, who died in 2014, promised me, or made me promise about a week before she passed, that I would do this book. She had kind of been after me to try to put something down on paper, and I hadn't. And so when she was on her deathbed, if you will, she made me promise I would write it. And so this was a fulfillment of that promise. The only sad thing about this, Jim, other than her passing, was that for 3 years, I didn't do too much with it. And then my family, my brothers primarily, and you're familiar with them, asked me, how's the book coming? And I decided, well, I've been thinking. and I did a lot of thinking. I'm a little anal, if you know me, and that is that it's always easier for me to write if I've got a title to write to. And so in 2017, I had picked that title, and I started on November 15th, which happened to be my mother's birthday. And the title I picked was her advice to me when I started high school in Oneida, and reminded me of that every time I changed a job. And that is why the title is Do Your Best and Then Some More. And it's the same my mother gave me that has served me very well in life. So that's how the book came about. I didn't write every day from 2017 on. Sometimes it'd be several weeks, and sometimes I would take a look at what I'd written, and the next day I'd rewrote it. You just never had to be real, real satisfied with it. And there's a lot of things in the book, as you can expect, covers my family, my journey in education in Oneida, my very first two best friends, the two people who influenced me the most, my college experiences, the three schools I taught at or was an administrator in 35 years, and then the 17 years at the Athletic Association, plus some great experiences I had in officiating high school and college football and also softball. So that's kind of a quick run through. There's some other chapters in it that we'll probably get to and talk about.
You know, it's amazing as we go through the time that we spend, we're warned ahead of time by a lot of folks as we are young and starting to kind of feel our way around the world that we should cherish certain experiences and we should play on some of the opportunities that we get and learn from those things. And it's kind of funny then as we go through life and then all of a sudden we kind of look back and then you remember some of the things you were told when you were younger because it seems to always come true. You always do seem to find these mileposts along the way.
Well, that was certainly true of me. Part of the early chapters in the book are primarily about my family, and people who pick up the book and read it can read about my father dying when I was five and growing up in a single parent family for 12 years. 12 days after my father passed away, my youngest brother John was born. So there were four brothers and a sister, and yet we managed to get along with mother's good guidance and the help of people in Anita, who really looked out for the late kids. And I think that's where the small town flavor of Iowa comes in, is that you have that network of people. And it just wasn't people in just solely in Anita. There were friends that we had in the rest of the county, Messina and Cumberland and Wyota and Atlantic and Griswold. Just a lot of people knew of the plight that we had and were more than willing to keep an eye out for us. Not necessarily a monetary one, just one that provided guidance.
Yeah, you think about how different the path might be had you grown up somewhere else in a larger community where you could, you know, largely disappear. But that's not really possible all the time in a small town. In fact, it's just about impossible to do, just because people continue to come toward you looking to help and guide you along the way.
Well, that's true, Jim. You have that network of support that where everybody knows everything else, whether they're a teacher, whether they're a business person in the community, or whether they're your neighbor or your best friend or whatever. But I've used 55 anecdotes in the book about, and several of those anecdotes come back to my youth and Anita and others when I was in college and others yet in my professional life and education and also at the Athletic Association. But some of them will make the reader smile, and some of them I'm sure will make them laugh, because they made me laugh when I wrote them, as to whether I should even share it or not. And others that will probably make your eyes a little moist. And the good Lord and gave me some teachers who really nourished my writing skills in Anita, and also an employer that I had, John Castle, who had the Anita Publishing Company and was kind enough to hire me for four summers when I was at Iowa State, and taught me an awful lot about how to write, not only with your head, but also with your heart.
You bet. Well, I know you're coming to Anita on, well, this week, January 13th, to visit both with folks at the high school and at the Anita Public Library. What will those events be like?
Well, Dom Gingrich, the principal at Anita, set something up, I'm donating a book to Cam High School Library, and then he's going to have me talk with some of the classes at Cam High School. That starts about 9:30. I'm not sure exactly how everything's going to be orchestrated, but having been, like I said, in schools for 35 years, I think I can probably navigate my way through that. And then at 3:30. We're going to have a book signing and Q&A and some sharing about the book at the Anita Public Library. So two events, and I hope to see a lot of old friends and meet some new ones.
Very good. Bud, when you talk to youngsters like this, I'm sure there's a little bit of from the younger person's eyes, they're looking, thinking, well, yeah, but that was a long time ago. But how much of your experiences do you think we'll be able to translate over to some of the youngsters these days?
I think everything will go pretty well. Yeah, it's right. 60 years since I graduated from high school, 56 since I graduated from Iowa State. And ever so often people ask me how old I am. I said, well, I was born when the earth was still cooling. How does that strike you? But in essence, you take a look at the chronology of it, is I'm not so sure how many people know a rookie 78-year-old author. And this is my first book. It's probably going to be my last, because I'm not sure exactly where the next one goes. But I didn't give myself much room for a sequel in this. The book's 398 pages. It's 84,000 words, like I told you, that include 55 anecdotes. It's got several pictures of people that I knew, people that were important to me. And the tough thing about writing, for those that have never attempted it, particularly with a book, is it's not what you write, it's how you write it. And it's not who you mention, but why you mention them. There's a lot of great people that are in this book, not by name, but by experience. And so I tried to make this a little bit of everybody. And one of the great examples I can give you of trying to make it a little bit more inclusive is there's a chapter that I've included in it that gives a brief history of each of the four states' activities associations for students that influence 90% of them in this state, because about 90% of our kids are involved in either music, speech, or boys or girls athletics. So those four associations have a history in there. And the reason I decided to include that, even though I worked at the Athletic Association and I was on the board of directors of the Girls Athletic Union while I was still in education, the reason I included them is I could not find a summary of each of those or a history of each of those associations in one book. And now we've got it right there. Whether they like it or not, it's there. It tells you a little bit about it. And I mentioned to the kids, and this is one of the important links, as you look at that chapter, I have included the hometown of each of the leaders in those organizations, the chronology of the leaders. And people will marvel at how many of those leaders in each of those four groups are from Western Iowa. And I think that speaks very well for the type of people you come in contact with every day and for the type of people that I grew up with.
Absolutely. Do Your Best and Then Some More. That's the name of the book. You can find it on Amazon.com. Bud Legg, Anita Native, is the author of that book. And again, if you'd like to swing on by, you can catch him this week, January 13th, at the Anita Public Library. That'll be at 3:30 p.m. And also he'll be visiting with students at the Cam High School earlier in the day there in Anita. Well, Bud, good to catch up with you. I haven't seen you in a few years. It's good to hear that you're doing well. And congratulations on the book. We hope you have a great time here in Anita.
Well, thank you so much, Jim, and maybe we'll have to go out to the Redwoods.